I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about the presidential cabinet.
So grab your closest advisors.
And let's get civical. Everybody.
Hi, guys.
Oh my gosh, hi.
We've missed you.
So much.
So very much.
This is literally every intro that we do.
Because we always miss you.
We always miss you.
It hurts to leave, all right? You know? It hurts to say goodbye. But you know what? It's never a goodbye. It's just to see you later.
It's just to see you later. It's to see you next Wednesday. Yeah. And I don't mean that in an aggressive way.
Are you thinking of see you next Tuesday?
Yep.
It's not it's cunt.
I was so proud of that too.
See you next Wednesday. Okay, mom. I can just imagine you like being super angry at somebody and just going, you know, you're being a real see you next Wednesday.
Oh my god.
You guys can't see her, but she's A, dying. Sobbing, and B, beet red, because she 100% thought it was see you next Wednesday. This is not scripted. This is all live.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Great.
God, the pride with which I said
see
that.
See you next Wednesday. All right, we're making t-shirts. See you next Wednesday.
See you next Wednesday. That's going to be mine. Lizzie's is going to be call me.
Call me.
And tell me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Call me. So welcome to Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart. See you next Wednesday is Arden Walentowski. It's a great day. We're going to be talking to you today about the presidential cabinet And we want to open this by saying this is our second recording on the presidential cabinet. We recorded the first episode maybe like four months ago.
Yeah.
And if you watch the news, you know that the presidential cabinet has had some shuffling around since then.
A little bit of turnover.
So much so that we actually have to literally re-record the episode because it is no longer accurate.
We went back and listened to the old one and we were like, to cut this down to like 15 minutes. There's no way that
there's only six people left.
Yeah.
So this is presidential cabinet 2.0. And hopefully by the time this drops, it hasn't changed again.
Yep.
The first thing I want to address with you, Arden, is something that you know I struggle with, which is the spelling of cabinet.
Honey, listen.
It is not spelled how it sounds.
No, every time I type it out phonetically, and it's always wrong.
It is always wrong. The
computer yells at me every time.
Because that I is precarious.
It
you
is.
Know what I mean? Because how you say cabinet.
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 Yep.
C-A-B-N-E-T. Cabinet.
Cabinet.
But you got to throw an I in there.
Yeah.
Which I think is very disrespectful.
Totally.
Because you don't know where she goes.
No.
You don't know where she goes.
It's not like the word bomb.
Bomba.
Like that clearly, like, yes, it's an errant B, but it comes at the end. Just add her on.
Just add her on. Yeah. So before we get into it, I just want to like start off with saying there is an I in cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in between the B and the N, which is not indicative in any of my notes.
No. And but why is it still telling me that this is spelled incorrectly? How do you actually
Because
spell?
You put an additional N.
I did. I put
so you wrote C-A-B-I-N-E-N-T. Cabinet. Net. Cabinet.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. Cabinet.
Cabinet. So speaking of that, tell us about let's talk about the history of the presidential cabinet. So once again, we're going back to, as you know, my favorite time in history, where it's Virginia and it's 12 states. The year is 18... And we're going to take a look at the U.S. Constitution for a second and look at where in the Constitution this idea of a presidential cabinet comes from.
Excellent.
You know, so everybody pull out your pocket constitutions. It literally just says the president can appoint heads of departments pending Senate approval.
Amazing.
That's it.
How lovely and vague.
That's
for the president.
Literally all the Constitution says. Yeah, that's literally the only thing that is said in the Constitution about the presidential cabinet.
That's
is that
so
he can
little.
Like he can grab some friends.
Right.
He does not have to. Although like now it's like
pretty
in order
it would
for
be
our,
like
government to function. We
at all.
You know?
Yeah.
We have to have some friends around.
Right.
But literally it's just he can appoint heads of department pending Senate approval. That's it.
That's it. And now it's become a body that is an advisory body to the president, hopefully advisory. Who actually knows
at
this point?
I don't know. Let's not
I don't know what Betsy
DeVos
is doing.
Let's not give labels like advisory, you know, or like experts does not seem correct when thinking about the current cabinet. But yeah, it's very curious to see how we have what we have today based on this one half a sentence.
That is rather small.
It is quite small. Well, because think about back in the day, there was like six people
right.
making this country, right?
Right.
James,
Tom,
and Samuel.
Alex.
Yeah, you know, it's a very small amount of people making this country. So I think they were just like, you know, because you had George.
Right.
You
he was pretty good.
Sweet George, and he had led us through a war.
Right.
And you know, crossed a river at one point. So he kind of like knew.
He knew how to do things.
He knew what he was doing.
Right.
So they
right.
were like, yeah, George, like if you want to call someone, and by call, I mean write him a letter for it to take three years.
Carrier pigeon. Right.
To someone named James and ask him, hey, what do you think I should do about Great Britain?
Right.
You know, they could write back.
I could write back. Exactly.
Pending the Senate approval, which at this point the Senate was like, how many people? One? Two?
Two. 26 maybe at the beginning?
That's exactly what I said. Well, because I mean.
Just one dude.
If you think about it, if it was 12 states in Virginia,
yeah,
and they each had
two.
Yeah, 26.
But like they were all, none of them were there.
None of them were there.
They were, you know, living with the ice boxes back in their like cabins.
Yeah.
On the frontier plains of Virginia or something.
Yes, the Virginia known for its place. For the great frontier. But for fun, I'll quickly say who George Washington's cabinet was.
Please.
So George Washington, as we all know, first president of the United States, lovely man. He had four advisory people, four cabinet positions. These four cabinet positions were the first original four cabinet positions, and they were created for these men. So first of all, you have Thomas Jefferson, TJ, as I affectionately call him. He was our Secretary of State, first one ever. Next, we have Alexander Hamilton. Heard of him? That's a Hamilton joke for all you Broadway fans. He was our first Secretary of Treasury. Then we had Henry Knox, who was the Secretary of War. And rounding out is Edmund Randolph, who I don't know him personally, but he was our first Attorney General. So there's a couple of interesting things that I want to point out about these first four gentlemen. Number one being Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton literally hated each other. Why? I'll tell you.
Please.
Thomas Jefferson was an anti-federalist and Alexander Hamilton was a federalist.
Yes.
Do we remember this that lesson? So Alexander Hamilton was like, I want to create a very centralized government with, you guessed it, a bank. Why? I'm Secretary of Treasury. How can I have treasure without banks? And Thomas Jefferson was like, look, I'm Secretary of State. I'm an anti-federalist. I don't want government anywhere near me. Okay.
Right.
I want the states to decide everything about me. And they fought literally all the time. Isn't that crazy?
And then,
you know, I mean, Henry Knox and Edmund. I don't know. It's interesting to me that it's like Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of War. All three of those make sense to me.
Right.
But then like an Attorney General.
I think because they needed somebody because they clearly needed to establish courts, that they needed somebody who would be like a representative to the courts, whatever they turned out to be. And so it would make sense that they would have somebody who would like need to be like the federal appointee in like a
it's
court
just weird
situation.
Like at this point, we have like eight laws total, you know, and like to have somebody who's like, I don't know, over like, I guess the Attorney General isn't a lawyer, right? Or is it like a lawyer?
Generally, yeah.
Attorney generally? Did you mean to do that? Arden, you are crushing it today. So Attorney generally is meant to like be a lawyer for the United States, right?
Yes,
I'm just like, what were you lawyering?
What were you lawyering? You know? Those eight laws. Those like the eight laws that
the
we
eight
have
laws
the
that
books.
We have.
Yeah.
So those, I mean, yeah, those four boys. That's what we started
that's
with.
We started with. And then James Madison.
Oh, right. Sweet James.
Sweet James.
I mean, what I love, because James Madison, why she brought up James Madison is because he coined the term presidential cabinet. And I don't know why or how.
Right.
But I just, like, I imagine James Madison walked into a meeting with these four gentlemen and, like, George, you know, and was like, these look like my cabinets. These look like my mahogany doors at home. Oh. George. These are your cabinets. Like, I know that's not what happened.
But you know there was like...
But it's also not what happened.
It's not what happened. I wouldn't put it past them to be like in a meeting with, you know, buckets of ale, talking about
buckets
laws.
Talking about the eight laws that they have.
That they have and the jobs that they had. And they're like, we need a name.
Guys, we have to come up with a really good name. Yeah. All good... Like
groups of
bands
men.
Have a good name. And honestly, you know, George and the Georgettes is taken. So
yeah.
So what are we going to be, guys?
Presidential group?
Presidential
advisors?
Presidential committee. Presidential, you know, menagerie.
Menagerie.
Which honestly is better.
I would love a presidential menagerie.
That is what it feels like we have
when
now.
I'm president, that's what I'm calling it.
Okay, great. Everybody, take note of that.
Take note. Make your t-shirts now.
Make them now. The presidential menagerie. But yeah, the fact that he was just like, they were like, oh, I know.
Right.
We're a cabinet.
Cool. So then they added some other positions over the years because, you
four
know.
Four was not enough.
Four was not enough.
We were growing.
We were growing. We were at war.
All the time. It's all we did.
Literally, that part hasn't changed. We're always at war. So they added the Department of the Navy, which then later became the Department of Defense.
Defense. Look, but honestly, what you're doing is you're actually coming up with better ideas, because what we needed was a Department of Defense. We needed that, and you know, and nobody's done it. And your bravery today has really...
I'm staking a claim. Department of Defense.
All right. Department of Defense is going to be the first cabinet position presidential menagerie that Arden creates. Excellent. We've announced.
We've announced live.
All right. So we have Department of the Navy or the Fence.
Or the Fence. That was in 1798. Department of Interior was added in 1849. Department of Agriculture. She came on board in 1889. And then we added some more, like Department of Veteran Affairs in 1989, which quite frankly seems like
very late in the game.
Very late in the
Considering game. Considering we created the Department of Navy / the Fence in 1798, which means we had like military personnel from the very beginning.
That's 200 years.
Before people were like, you know, I think we should like try to help these guys out.
Right. The last one that was added was Department of Homeland Security in 2001.
Great.
Because of 9/11.
Yep.
And that's like a little brief history of like the positions and how we got to some of them.
Yeah. Can I do a little fun fact real
Please
quick about?
Do.
So the vice president is a cabinet position now, but it was not always a cabinet position. Why? I'll tell you. John Adams, our first VP.
Oh my God.
Somebody who, not a happy man, you know, created one of America's most grumpy men, John Quincy Adams, thought that the VP position was useless. Was literally like, look at George. There's six of us here. Right. There's nine of us running the government. I don't need to be in these meetings. What am I going to say that Edmund's not saying?
Right.
I don't need to be here. This position is, I'm a figurehead.
Right.
I'm a figurehead. I'm going to go home to, I think, Virginia. Not 100% sure where John Adams is from. But like, I don't need to be here. You
right.
know? And so it literally wasn't until Harding and Eisenhower, so that duo, when the VP was brought into these meetings. So we went like...
Wow, that's a long time.
A very long time.
That's crazy.
Where, like, the VP was, like, not a part of, quote-unquote, like...
Any decision-making
advisement meetings. There was just like, you know, he is just there in case somebody dies.
Right.
You know, but I don't need to be in the room. You know, you...
Right. You
it's
do
like,
you.
Like a parent when you go to the doctor's office and you're, like, you're like a teen at this point. And
right.
they're like, I'll just sit outside.
Right.
I don't need to.
I don't need to know what's
yeah.
going on.
Yeah, that's what was the VP for like 100 years until Eisenhower was like, no, I think
we're big enough now. I think we've
been through some world wars.
Yeah.
I'd love your input.
Yeah,
would love your input.
Would love for you to have some knowledge so that I could not just be doing this on my own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the Postmaster General used to be a cabinet
position. To be a cabinet position. So let's go through what each cabinet member. Or cabinet position does. And and then we'll talk about who's doing it now or not doing it. It's going to be fun, you guys. Buckle up.
Position VP.
Great. As you know, it's Mike Pence, who is sometimes me.
Mm-hmm.
I am Mike Pence. We all know him. He exists. What I will say about Mike Pence. He is still the VP.
He is a conservative man with white hair. White skin.
Very
anti-gay.
White.
Anti-gay.
He reminds me a lot of John Quincy Adams.
Yeah.
And just sort of like my vibe of like, were you hugged?
As a child?
As
I
a
think
child.
The answer is no, because children were probably not supposed to be hugged in that household.
That's true.
Do you feel like that? I feel like that is an accurate description.
That's very true.
Yeah.
So that's Mike Pence.
Secretary of State.
Oh
my goodness. Used to be Rex Tillerson.
By Rex.
I mean, when he left, though, I was like, because he said, didn't he call the president dumb or stupid.
Oh yeah, he was fucking Rex dumb. Was not was, about Trump.
No, and I love that. I was like, actually, maybe you get to stay.
Yeah,
like I kind of well, okay, no.
Okay, to, you know, I did not agree with his confirmation, but no. Like he got it, and he was, but he, I do think he was like trying to do the job.
Yeah,
I don't agree with a lot of his choices that he did, but he was right. Like trying to do the job.
Right,
and Trump was like, okay, but like, don't do the job.
Right.
And Rex like, is like, shut up. Like, you're so annoying.
Just let me be.
Honestly, this is exactly how Rex talks. Yeah. He called me and that's how we talked.
Secretary of State is currently Mike Pompeo. And just, well, so we're going to tell you what these people do. So the Secretary of State, in case you couldn't tell by the name, supervises the State Department. Which works with foreign countries and decides on travel to countries and protects U.S. citizens abroad. So it's like the department and the cabinet figure that protects, that has like the U.S. interests at heart and things that are related to foreign affairs.
I feel seen.
Great.
I feel seen by Mike. It's also disorienting because the first one is Mike, like Vice President is Mike, and now Secretary of State is Mike, and I just feel like no more mics. Mics are done. We've met our quota.
Do you want to do Secretary of Treasury?
Sure. So great. Secretary of Treasury, what does that do? Well, you can imagine. He or she supervises the Treasury Department, which has charge of the money responsibilities of the government, the Secret Service, and the collection of taxes. So what does that mean? It means that They do money for the government. The current Secretary of Treasury is a pimple of a human named Stephen Mnuchin. Is that how you say it? Munchin? I always say Mnuchin, but I think that's because I literally...
And then, because I feel like that's how the press taught us to say it in the very beginning when he came into our lives.
Yeah.
And now... I feel like sometimes I hear people say Munchin or something. Like, there's some other iterations of his name. I say Mnuchin. I don't know what I say.
We all know who I'm talking about. So he has been the Secretary of Treasury from the beginning. There has been no replacements with him.
No. I also just want to flag for
flags
our listeners. Flags up. That the Secret Service falls under the Treasury.
Oh, yeah, that is what?
Which is random.
Why do you think that is? Like, the Secret Service is in place to literally, they're the bodyguards of the United States.
Of the United, like, elected officials.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have no idea. I have no answer to that.
Excellent. It's
we can look something up and put it in the show
notes. Yeah, why
wouldn't
they be under, like,
but, like,
the Secretary of Defense? I don't know.
Like, Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay. So, Secret Service, if you're listening, because I know you are, call me and tell me why you fall under the Secretary of Treasury.
Yep.
Next, Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of Defense. It has an acting person right now.
Let's define what that means. Acting.
An acting person.
Person.
It means that they haven't, like, they've been chosen by the president, but they haven't been confirmed by the Senate.
Mm-hmm. My question is, because, like, a couple of these people have, like, been, because there's three acting officials right now.
Right.
Like, is there a time limit for when these confirmation hearings have to happen? Because I just feel like they're, like, being the person... right now, you know?
Right.
So like, it's like, is like, I feel like you can only
doing it.
You're like doing it, but like we haven't said yes. Like, because what if one of these three that we talk about, what if the Senate says no and they've just been doing the job?
Like our dude coming up, Matthew Whitaker, like
has been doing the job for
a while, but there's like a lot of questions around.
Could not be more questions.
Right. About his loyalty and where his loyalty lies and if he thinks that like the president has the right to be, has like some kind of executive privilege.
Right.
And, you know, if he could be... immune from prosecution. Yes. Exactly. Thank you for finishing my sentence.
Anytime. Yes. I'm 90% sure that the answer is there is no like
I don't think there is limit. A time limit. Yeah.
But I just want to point out that there is no time limit on when these confirmation hearings have to happen, which means that people that... the Senate has not confirmed, a.k.a. we the people have not confirmed because the Senate acts on our behalf. are literally making big decisions for us.
Right.
The Secretary of Defense.
Right.
Is somebody we have not said yes to. But the former Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, there's some controversy around him. I mean, he went out with like middle fingers in the air.
Yes, he
was
did.
Do not do these things. Right. This is bad. Stop. No, stop. Please.
That was the Saudi Arabia letter, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. He was like very opposing a lot of things that the Trump administration was doing.
Yep.
And then like was like, I have to go.
I have to go. I can't be a part of this.
I cannot be a part of this.
Yep.
Another fun fact about James Mattis, he was the highest confirmed person in the Senate. It was something like 98-2. Like he was he's a former general.
He's a former general, and the dissenting votes around him were centered around like having a member of the military or a former member of the military in a civilian position. Like apparently that's some kind of faux pas, which I understand.
But
in some respects, because it feels like military takeover of like a legal position.
Right. But I can see the argument for a former military person taking over a position like Secretary of Defense.
Right.
Because I just feel like there might be some, you know, knowledge picked up on the way. About
practical experience learned on the job.
Defense.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. The current acting person is Patrick M. Shanahan.
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 A lot of N's there.
That name is fun to say.
It is fun to say. I'm like Mnuchin.
Mnuchin.
It's like vomiting in your mouth. Next up is
the Attorney General.
Yes. We've chatted about that a little bit. But
we have.
Go ahead and describe it for us.
We've had like three since Trump, I almost said took over, assumed office. Sally Yates, who, I mean...
Sally.
I love Sally.
Sally, if you want to be on the show, you just call me.
Honey, and boo. We will take you
anytime.
Oh, my goodness. I love her.
Shout out to Sally.
Yeah. She, after her, it was Jeff Sessions. I can't even say his name.
Jeff.
We all know Jeff Sessions.
We all know him. We know him. What's there to say about Jeff Sessions? The Attorney General for some time, and now he's not. Why? Because he recused himself from the investigation, the Mueller investigation, and Trump basically bullied him the entire time about doing that. And now we have
an acting Attorney General, Matthew Whitaker, who we've talked about is questionable at best.
He's questionable. Yes.
The Attorney General, just so we have an idea of like what they're supposed to be doing, it is the president's main legal advisor in matters pertaining to the country. So helpful.
I literally, so like, what do you mean? His main legal advisor? Absolutely not. That's what's interesting is that like. I feel like the Attorney General should be working for the people, not the president.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's weird that it's his legal advisor. Like, we're paying somebody to be his legal advisor.
Yeah.
This position should be, like, the president's legal advisor for things that, like, have to do with, like,
other government. Countries.
Other countries are, like, how, like, government, like the laws that we have on the books and how we want to enforce them.
Yeah.
At a federal level, like that's what this job is supposed to be.
But right now it's just like, don't do this. That's illegal.
Right. Like it's, you know, they see that according to the notes that we have from the Truman Library. Hi.
Shout out to Truman.
This person oversees that the laws are enforced and that people receive justice.
Okay. Wait. The Attorney General makes sure that people receive justice.
That seems so not like a job description.
It also seems like what's not happening.
And they appoint special investigation teams and they've run the Justice Department.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the Supreme Court.
Not to be confused with the Supreme
Court.
Two different things. The Supreme Court acts independently from all of this.
All of the branches. They are a branch in and of themselves. And the Justice Department is a department within the federal government.
I love it.
Right?
Could not be more clear.
Right.
There's nothing I would edit about how this functions. You know what I mean? Just kidding. Once again, this seems like a first draft go at a government.
Right.
Really could have cleaned some of this up, gentlemen.
A little bit.
Okay, great. Let's pound through these next for, because I feel like they're all like living in the same world. So tell me what the Secretary of Interior is.
The Secretary of Interior, they are the person that leads the Department of the Interior, which protects and improves the natural resources of the nation's national parks and forests. This is actually pretty specific.
This is very specific. It's also not happening
because we've lost like how many hundreds of Joshua trees that like were cut down during the government shutdown.
And also we keep like giving away protected land.
Right. We keep giving away protected land and running like huge like transportation pipelines through protected land and through natural resources and flooding them with oil because we haven't done proper oversight and blah blah blah.
Like, I love
this job, I think, needs to be taken a little bit more seriously is what I'm saying about that.
Right. And right now the person is also an acting official, David Bernhardt, and it used to be Ryan Zinke. Yeah. Sweet Ryan. He is now gone.
He's gone. Secretary of Agriculture.
Love this. Hope it's straightforward. Is it?
I'm going to guess farms.
That's what I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
Focuses on the safety and regulation of food production and works with the farmers throughout the country.
Shout out to farmers.
Farmers. And that current person is Sunny Perdue.
Hell yeah. Next up is a fan favorite of mine. It's the Secretary of Commerce. This is a confusing one to me, but this secretary leads the Department of Commerce, which assists the businesses of the nation, sets trade policies, and enforces rules for moving materials across the country and around the world. Okay, great. But my question is, so the current is Wilbur Ross, who's also the census dude.
Right.
How is the census falling on the Department of Commerce based on what I just said?
My guess would be that if you're doing the business of the nation, it's about knowing, like, if you're going to do the business. Nation? Yes, exactly. Mm. Like, if you're going to do it properly, you have to know who, like, where people are so that you're not, like, you know, setting up a bunch of like train depots in Wyoming where like that might not be necessary. Like you're going to put things in like more populated areas.
Yeah.
It also helps like with if you're talking about like interstate, like transportation of goods and services, like you need to know where those goods and services should go.
Totally. I hear that.
But again, like total stab in the dark.
No, but that's a great stab in the dark. But it's interesting to me, for those of you who don't know. So there's a lot of controversy surrounding the census right now because Wilbur Ross added a question about citizenship to the census.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the same guy who is like, I don't understand why federal workers are going to food banks.
Yes, he did say that.
During the government shutdown. So Wilbur Ross is a billionaire, which is not surprising.
That's just, yeah, but in case you couldn't guess.
Guess by name like Wilbur. All right, shout out to my Wilbers in the area. Okay,
yeah, where were we?
We are
who
at
was that
secretary
okay we're at Secretary of Labor.
Yeah,
great. Secretary of Labor is Alex Acosta, has been for the entire Trump
time.
Administration.
Yep,
like nobody really talks about that guy. I could not even pick him out in a lineup.
No.
I have no idea what he looks like.
He is pulling a Mike Pence and flying under the radar.
Under the radar. But I feel like that's probably good for him in the long run. Like he might work after this.
Yeah.
The Secretary of Labor assists and protects the working people of the nation. That is laughable.
Excellent work all around.
Do you all feel protected?
I feel so protected. I feel secure. I feel like I'm not drowning in debt.
Right.
Great. So, Alex, you're doing an A+ job. I have no notes. All right.
Who's next?
Next is Secretary of Health and Human Services. And what that does is they lead the Department of Health and Human Services, which handles welfare, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security payments and issues. And that person was sweet little baby Tom Price.
Yeah. Isn't he the one that like bought a bunch of stuff and decorated his office with like
he was like
lots of money.
He was buying like end tables and things like that. And I'm like, Tom, he was also, wasn't he taking
literally
like
literally run the welfare
private
department.
Planes? I'm like, you stop it. Stop. Yeah. But now it's Alex Azar.
Yeah.
Tom Price, what was that? A couple months ago.
That was a couple months ago.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Then we have the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development.
Mm.
This is our beloved Ben Carson.
Ben Carson.
When you can stay awake.
There was a really great Onion article that came out after he dropped out of the presidential race. That's right. Ben Carson did run for president, too. We remember that.
Right.
And the title was Ben Carson drops out of presidential race, floats away from Earth. Shout out to the Onion. That I saw that and I can never get over that title. I about cat. And there's just a picture of Ben Carson floating away from the earth. And it's like, yeah, he's like, I feel like right. All his wife is doing is just being like, Ben, come back here. You know, like trying to keep him from floating away. Did we say what he does? What is the housing and
urban development? We haven't said anything.
Other than float, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development do?
They're supposed to administer the department, and which the department specializes in issues related to building homes for lower income Americans and planning for better communities.
All right. Next up, Secretary of Transportation.
Hey, a woman.
It is a woman, you guys. Everybody shout out. And this woman, it's Elaine Chao, right?
Yep.
Yes, Elaine Chao. So she was also one of the few people in Trump's cabinet who was confirmed overwhelmingly.
Because she's super qualified.
She's very qualified. She's also, this has nothing to do, she's extremely qualified for her job, but she's married to Mitch McConnell, right?
She is indeed, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So the Secretary of Transportation, they administer the Department of Transportation, which enforces the laws and safety regulations pertaining to railroads, buses, ships, and airplanes.
Ships.
Just like, I'm sorry, I know we have ships. Like, I know that we own ships. It's just really interesting to see, like railroads, which are kind of, like, they're on the out and out, you know?
They shouldn't be, though.
Oh, I know.
I wish we had, like, a European transportation system. I would go to Iowa.
100%. We would all go to Iowa.
We would all go to Iowa.
Everybody wants to go there, but there's just not a railroad.
There's not a railroad to there.
And then buses, which, like, okay, I see buses. I see buses every day. And then ships, okay?
I see buses.
I don't see ships every day. And then airplanes. Airplanes make a lot of sense. What about cars? You know, like, right. Like cars.
Right. I feel like they fall under this, right?
I'm sure they wheels. Do. They must fall under this. It's
they
just
take
very
people
funny
places.
To me that in the definition, the only four things that are listed are railroads, buses, ships, and airplanes. It's like,
sure.
Yeah, that's right. And
all of the other things. Oh, my God. I feel like, do you like Rick Perry?
No.
Great. Secretary of Energy is Rick Perry.
It's, let me tell you, okay, so I grew up in Texas, as everybody knows, because I always say that, and Rick Perry was governor of Texas for, like, I mean, it felt like my entire life, but it was probably at least 12 years, give or take.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head.
It was, like, more than two terms, for sure. And then he came out and, like, tried to run for president and failed. I'm not a fan.
I do like his glasses, though.
That is true. He did find the right frame for his face.
He did.
And that we will acknowledge.
Increased,
you know,
his IQ, like, at least 50 points.
Right. But the definition of the Secretary of Energy, what they're supposed to do.
Tell.
Is lead the Department of Energy, which Amazing. Works on problems about energy and fuel, such as coal, oil, gas, and atomic energy. This department also promotes research on solar energy and other alternative sources of power.
Rick,
call me and let's talk about solar energy. Yeah, this 100% is not happening. Rick Perry is from Texas. We're oil country, like, through and through. Like, the first part of this thing, 100% happening.
Yeah.
But this idea that we're promoting, what's supposed to be happening is, like, finding alternative sources of fuel. Why?
Right.
Because fossil fuels are going to run out. We're going to destroy the earth. Global warming is real.
Right.
That is 100% not happening. And 100% why somebody like Rick Perry should not be in charge of this.
Right.
But he did find the right frame for his face.
For his face. Somebody else who also found the right frame for their face, Betsy. How do we say her name? DeVos?
Devos? I say Devos.
Devos?
But I don't know if that's correct.
I don't know if it's correct either. Betsy.
Betsy. There's only one Betsy.
There's only one
Betsy.
So
we can just call her, you know, as we know her, which is Betsy.
She is the Secretary of Education, the other woman in the cabinet. Is there another one?
Yes, but we'll get to her.
Yes,
there's three.
Mr. Nelson. There's three. So she's the second of the three ladies. So the Department of Education works with schools throughout the country to provide money and grants for educational programs and services, which is great. The problem with Betsy is that she comes from, like, private education.
Yeah, she promotes only private education.
She promotes private education.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't know too much about Betsy, let me just say, you know, we've seen a lot of people on this list who are, you could say, not qualified for what they're doing. But Betsy is on a whole other level. She comes from incredible, like, unbelievable amounts of wealth, which is, you know, that's no judgment against people who have that type of wealth. But it is, it should be noted that her family contributes to the Republican Party in donations in a way that we cannot even possibly imagine that amount of money. And also throughout her entire time as Secretary of Education, she has consistently tried to roll back protections on trans students, on, you know, like harassment in schools. She's tried to roll back, like,
she wanted to roll back, like, the student debt forgiveness thing for higher education. If you work for the government or any government, city, state, or federal, or if you work for a nonprofit for 10 years, then you have federal student loans. The federal government is, like, there's a forgiveness program.
Yeah.
If you do 10 years of that, your student loans are forgiven. She wanted to get rid of that.
Yeah. So it's like she has
contributed
nothing to the education department that has promoted any sort of, like, protections, positivity for anybody that does not look like Betsy DeVos. And I cannot hide my disdain for somebody who consistently tries to undermine the work that has been done to protect young students.
Yeah.
She tried to roll back
a good education.
Yeah, and she tried to roll back things about, like, students who, like, report sexual assault and, like, you know, and promotes things that protect the perpetrators of sexual assault and not the victims. And it's like, no, you are not okay. You are not a good person.
Yeah.
I do not like you. The other thing about her confirmation hearing, it had to be decided by, you guessed it, Mike Pence for a tie-breaking vote.
Right.
She was put in office 51-250. She is not qualified.
We'll give you one guess on how that split worked out.
Yeah.
Next up is Secretary of Veteran Affairs, and that is Robert Wilkie. This individual runs the Department of Veteran Affairs, which provides services and advice. That's interesting. To men and women who have served in the armed forces. This department was recently established in 1989, like we talked about earlier.
We did talk about that. Yeah, I wonder what the advice is that they give.
The advice is keep calling so you can get a doctor's appointment for the thing that may have killed you or will kill you in 4 weeks' time. Maybe we can see you if you keep calling. That is our advice.
Department of Veteran Affairs, notoriously, is not a very well-functioning piece of our government, which is very upsetting. So the last cabinet position that we have is the Secretary of Homeland Security. You've heard a lot about her recently. She, Kristjen Nielsen, she is very much a proponent in the child separation at the border. And I mean, I don't really know what else to say about her other than that she's literally allowed children to be separated from their parents at the border.
They're saying, like, they won't. There's, like, no way.
There's no way for
them
to reconnect to, like, them. There are more children that have been separated than we officially, like, know about.
Right.
And the White House basically just confirmed that by submitting, like, their whatever report on it and being like, yep, this is what happened.
Yep, we took them from their parents, and we have no real way of connecting them back to their parents.
Yep, and that falls on her.
And that's she's the head of that department.
Quite literally falls on her. Not a fan of her.
They also, when they created this position, transferred in other cabinet departments. So, like, the Coast Guard falls under there.
Oh, yeah.
U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, all of that stuff falls under them.
Which is why the children separation thing is happening, because they deal with the border.
Right. That's the cabinet proper.
Yeah.
And then there are some cabinet level positions that are cabinet level positions.
Yeah. It just basically means that, like, they get to be in these, like, advising meetings, but they are not in the line of succession.
Yes. That is the
distinction.
Which
we'll talk about really quickly. I think let's just bop through these really quickly. I'll just list off what the cabinet level officials, like, what the positions are. So we have the chief of staff, and right now that person is acting. You guessed it. It's Mick Mulvaney. It was John F. Kelly, and it also was
Reince Priebus. Remember yeah. that guy?
I remember that
Reince
guy.
Priebus?
Oh, Reince. Because I remember being like, what's Reince? The next one is...
a trade representative, which is Robert... oh, my God.
Leitzer?
Leitzer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats.
Mm-hmm.
Ambassador to the United Nations, acting, mm-hmm. is Heather Nauert.
Was Nikki Haley.
Former governor of South Carolina.
Yep.
Director of Office of Management and Budget, which is also Mick Mulvaney.
He's doing two jobs.
No.
Which I feel like is not appropriate. Listen, I don't know.
If Jared can't do it, I don't know how Mick is doing it. If Jared can't bring us peace in the Middle East and get everybody internet, how can Mick Mulvaney be doing these two things?
Exactly right. It's so yeah, so Mick Mulvaney, as the acting White House Chief of Staff, he is also still the Director of Office Management and Budget. I feel like one of those is falling short.
One of them is falling short.
They are two full-time jobs. Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA, is Gina Haspel. She had a little controversy around her because she is chill with torture. And there was, when she was being confirmed, mm-hmm. there was a lot of pushback about that, specifically from my boy John McCain. May he rest in peace. He was like, torture is bad. This woman literally should not be
right.
the head of the CIA. Just want to
say, as somebody who was tortured.
Somebody who was tortured right. was like, this person should not be the head of the right. CIA. But, you know, tomato, potato, she's the head of the CIA.
Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency was Scott Pruitt.
Oh, Scott.
Scotty boy.
Scott. Bless his heart. Like, what? Talk about a guy who just like needed parental supervision. You know, he just kept getting into some shit. And I'm like, yeah. Scott, calm down.
You're
the head of the EPA.
And now it is Andrew Wheeler,
who also does not believe in climate change.
Okay. Right. Administrator of Small Businesses Administration is Linda McMahon.
Yeah.
Great.
And that rounds that out. Yeah. So let's talk about why all of this matters.
Right. Because we didn't just like.
We didn't just list all this stuff for no reason. The reason why this matters is because we, the United States, have something called the line of succession. What does that mean? That means that the president is a mortal being and that he might die.
Not that we're wishing for it.
No, we don't wish. We do not wish death on anybody. But that is something that everybody has to prepare for. So the United States government has come up with the succession in which people will become president mm-hmm. should the person in front of them die. So would you like to
give
us
it.
The list?
Oh, my God. First, VP, Vice President, currently Mike Pence.
Bless.
Should something happen to Trump, he would be the next one to step in. After that, it's the Speaker of the House,
Nanners.
My lady in red, Nancy Pelosi. God bless her. Third is President Pro Tem of the Senate, which is Orrin Hatch, Republican. We should say Mike Pence, obviously a Republican. Nancy Pelosi, obvious Dem. The rest of these are all going to be Republicans because they were all appointed by Trump. So Orrin Hatch. And then four is Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Five is Secretary of the Treasury Steve Mnuchin. Six is Secretary of Defense. Seven, Attorney General. Eight, Secretary of the Interior. And if you're wondering why I haven't given you names for those last three offices, it's because they're vacant.
They're vacant. Why?
They are currently being run by acting secretaries, and so they're not in the line of succession.
You can't become president if we haven't confirmed you. You can do the job, but you cannot become president. So we literally have three empty spots in the line of succession right now.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Keep going.
Nine is the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. And rounding it out, 10 is Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross. Yes, Wilbur Ross could be president.
Could be president.
If something happened to all of these people above him.
The line of succession goes longer than 10. It like encompasses all of the cabinet positions. We're just not going to list off past 10.
Right.
Because that feels stressful and feels like a lot. Can we speak of catastrophe then?
Sure.
Do you want to get into the designated survivor?
Yes.
I feel like what a great... So we're going to round out on this incredible thing. And by incredible, I mean like people have to die for this to be like actually happen. Yep. So not incredible. But the designated survivor, and we're not talking about the TV show. It is actually a real thing. So what this person is a member of the presidential cabinet and now a congressperson, right. Who is at every major government event, where like a State of the Union, where all of like the heads of state and all of these cabinet positions and the president and the vice president come together under one roof. The president and his like advisors choose a person to become the designated survivor in case like the Capitol is blown up or everybody dies, that there is somebody who is taken to a secure location to run the government should such event happen.
Right.
Which is crazy.
It's nuts. It's I love that we like have this. So like somebody had forethought at one point. I mean, it was created during the Cold War. So we were just kind of afraid of everybody all the time. And we were like, no. This is somebody has to stay behind.
Yeah.
And now we just like have continued this policy of like, we're going to keep the Secretary of Agriculture in a bunker.
In a bunker. Which, happens. By the way, the last designated survivor was indeed Sonny Perdue.
Was it Sonny Perdue?
It was Sonny Perdue, nice. Secretary of Agriculture in the 2018 State of the Union. And then in 2005, it used to just be like one cabinet member would like go into a bunker. But in 2005, they started adding a member of Congress to accompany them.
Which makes perfect sense.
Makes 100% sense. I can't believe we waited until 2005 to be like, oh, we should get somebody who like knows how to make a law.
Or like knows how to start. Like if everybody is dead.
Be like, I have an idea of where to begin.
Right.
Because like somebody is has just like, I know what the farmers want. Yeah. Like, like he has the spare key to the Capitol. He's like, don't worry, I got you.
I got you.
So something that a fun fact, Orrin Hatch, we talked about earlier, who's the president pro tem, has been it twice in the past 2 years, which I feel like I see you.
Right. That's sneaky.
I see you. You can't just keep being the designated survivor.
Right.
I feel like you're hoping. You know what I mean?
Right. Do you know something that we
don't know?
Maybe.
And then there are the same qualifications to become president apply to the designated survivor. So you have to be at least 35 years old, natural born citizens, which we don't know what that means.
We still don't know what that means.
And residents for at least 14 years. The only person who cannot be a designated survivor in the presidential cabinet is Elaine Chao because she was born in Taiwan. So that is the presidential cabinet, guys.
That's the presidential cabinet?
I'm like
That's
sweating.
The line of succession.
I know.
That is designated survivor.
Right. What we're saying is that there are plans in place.
Right.
We just need the people to stay in office. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because these vacancies, who knows? It could just be Sonny Perdue on the list. About the way we're going. I would love to see the line of succession being like number one, VP Mike Pence, and then number two, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and then like vacant, 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 vacant. Sonny Perdue. Vacant.
Ben Carson. Vacant.
Ben Carson. Vacant. Oh God. Yeah.
Oh my God. So that's it. Thank you for joining us today,
you guys.
Guys.
We love you.
We love you. Get your t-shirt.
We will see you next Wednesday.
See you next Wednesday. I'm never going to live this down.
No, you aren't. Bye.